Let's look in our Bibles this evening to the book of 1 Peter. The book of 1 Peter, and in chapter 3, we'll read verses 18 through verse 22. 1 Peter in chapter 3. I begin reading in verse 18. For Christ also has once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. As we look at the words, and especially those in verse 22, let's also remember the words recorded in the book of Acts. If you'll hold your place here in the book of 1 Peter, and look with me to the book of Acts and in chapter 1. In Acts and in chapter 1, I began in verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. There's two things here I want to mention in Acts in chapter 1. Notice, in verse 11, concerning Jesus, it says, this same Jesus which is taken up from you, taken up from you. We know that the word ascension means to go up. In coming into this world, he descended, he came down. He came down from heaven. Here at the appointed time, he was taken up from you into heaven. You'll notice the last words of verse 11, ye have seen him go into heaven. And there's some interesting words here to me, and it gives cause to wonder why the Holy Spirit might have had these few words recorded. In verse 11, it says this same Jesus. And just stop and consider a moment. Why are those words necessary? They must be necessary. They're added here by the Spirit of God. This same Jesus. There should be no doubt that the same one who went up into heaven is the same one that will come down from heaven once again. This same Jesus. Consider, if you would, that it was a man who was crucified at Golgotha. It was a man who was buried in Joseph's tomb. It was a man who rose from the dead, and it was a man who ascended into heaven. It was the man, Christ Jesus. Consider, if you would, that the Holy Spirit had us to have these words, that this same Jesus, and it must be the same man, Christ Jesus, who is coming again, the God-man himself. It's an important biblical fact that Jesus is no less man now than he was when he walked upon this earth. He is no less man now than he was on the cross. And he is no less man now than he was when he was laid in the tomb. No less man now than he was when he ascended into heaven. And this same Jesus, it must be the man, Christ Jesus. He's not going to come in some spiritual form as a spirit, but in his humanity, this same Jesus, it says. Notice the word again, verse 11. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Again, that's an important biblical fact. We might take it for granted, but there are some who do not believe in a literal bodily resurrection of the Lord, nor a literal bodily ascension of the Lord. They do not believe in a human body being at the right hand of God now, nor that it is this same Jesus that is going to come again one day. Before Jesus ascended, before what we have here in Acts in chapter 1, he was on this earth for 40 days following his resurrection. And that was an amazing 40 days. It was extraordinary days here upon this earth. Jesus used those 40 days between the resurrection and the ascension to strengthen his disciples and also to give them comfort. They had lost in death the one that they loved, but he rose from the dead. But then following that, he tells them, I'm going away. And he explains to them, it seems, during this 40 days, that it was expedient for him to go away. The necessity of him going away. During that 40 days, and I say again, it was an extraordinary time, he seemed to have given a calmness and a peace to his disciples. You never read of the disciples of the Lord being sad about his ascension. They mourned his death. They were grieved at his death, but never concerning the ascension of the Lord. During those 40 days, he had some extraordinary teaching for his disciples. Something else about these 40 days that are amazing to me is that he had no opposition on earth during those 40 days. It had to have been greatly publicized that that one that was crucified has risen from the dead, and he's walking upon the earth. The enemies of Christ must have known that Jesus was alive. But you do not find during those 40 days any opposition to Jesus at all. During that 40 days, the disciples had peace. They had peace. You would think after the crucifixion of Jesus that the enemies of the Lord would have immediately hunted and hounded the disciples of the Lord, seeking to put them to death and out of business and end the affair completely. But no one came after the disciples. For a while they had fear, but during that 40 days, Jesus put their fear away. And during these 40 days, there was a peace. And it just seemed to be a preview of the coming reign and peace of Jesus when he comes back again to this earth. Now look back to our text in 1 Peter. At the end of the 40 days, Jesus ascended into heaven. In our text in 1 Peter 3 and in verse 22, speaking of Jesus Christ, Peter wrote, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Peter writes in his own peculiar way. You'll notice that Peter does not use flowery words. He does not use enticing words of men's wisdom. When he speaks of Jesus returning to heaven, notice what he said in verse 22. Peter just wrote, who is gone into heaven. Just very simple words. He's gone. He's gone into heaven. And when I look at these words and I take up the word last words in verse 21, Jesus Christ who is gone. And I cannot help but think what a sad state it would be for all of us if the wording ended there. Jesus Christ who is gone. What a terrible thing that would be if the Bible just ended there and did not give us more information. But the Bible says here through Peter, who is gone into heaven. He's gone into heaven. I'll say again, in his human body, in his human nature, he is gone into heaven. When he ascended on high, he did not leave that physical body behind. He did not leave the flesh and bones behind. He did not leave humanity behind. That same Jesus went up and he's coming again. There are a lot of questions I might have in my mind concerning that. But evidently, the Lord did not want us to have the answer to all of our questions, or he would have revealed it in the Word of God. But consider the fact in that real place that is called heaven, there is a real man sitting on the right hand of God the Father. An amazing thing to consider. It would strengthen our belief and our faith that heaven is a real place. A real place. Because there was a real man that ascended into heaven. He is there with the wound still in his hand. He is there in the same form as he was when he walked upon this earth. And Peter wrote that he has gone into heaven. Now there is reason here for the saints of God to rejoice. Jesus, our Savior, is gone. Now that alone would bring sadness. But knowing where he is gone, where he is now, and we even know in part what he is doing now, there's reason to rejoice and not be sad any longer. You think back to Israel in the Old Testament on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go within the veil into the Holy of Holies. And that veil separated the high priest from the remainder of the people. And the people knew that it was better for the high priest to be behind the veil in the Holy of Holies than it was for him to be with them. The high priest was more useful to the people in the Holy of Holies behind the veil than he was without. And even so it is with Jesus. Our high priest is physically separated from us. He is gone into the Holy of Holies, into heaven itself, and it's better and more useful for us. He said, it's expedient for you. It's good for you. And there are many different reasons for that. One is that he said, if I go not away, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will not come. But if I go away, I'll send him unto you. What a great benefit for Jesus being into heaven. These words in our text, Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven. Despite anything and everything that Satan might do, he's gone into heaven. You remember after the crucifixion and the burial, Satan mounted one last attempt to stop Jesus from the resurrection, which would have stopped him from the ascension. There was a stone. The stone was sealed. Guards were placed upon it. But that could not stop him. And again, I cannot help but wonder, where is Herod now? Where is Pilate now? Where are the elders, the chief priest, and the scribes trying to stop him from ascending into heaven? Where's Satan now? This is his last chance. His last chance to stop the purpose of God. If he could stop the ascension, he has halted the purpose and the counsel of God. But there's no mention of Satan. We don't read anything about his activity here. Again, this is a very special time. A very special time. When Israel left Egypt, and this reminds me of Israel leaving Egypt, the Bible says not even a dog moved his tongue against Israel. And so it is when Jesus ascended. Not one of his enemies moved a finger against him. Not one. And I cannot help but wonder, where are they? Where are all those open enemies of Christ now? He showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. At one time, more than 500 brethren saw him, and the word must have spread. Jesus is alive. Why didn't they try to kill him again? Why didn't they try to stop it? This was a time of peace. This was a special time upon this earth. In our text, Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven, he is our forerunner. And again, that's an important doctrine in the scripture, Jesus being our forerunner. You cannot be a forerunner unless others follow you. So he being our forerunner into heaven assured that others are going to follow him into heaven. And is that not what the Apostle Paul did write about on several occasions? When death comes, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Well, he's in heaven. It's a great comfort to saints when family members die, when friends die, to know that those believers have not ceased to exist. They've gone into heaven. As surely as Jesus went into heaven, they've gone into heaven. Our forerunner. He's there now, representing us. He is there still as that mediator between God and man. He is there now as our intercessor, our advocate with the Father. And I'll mention again, he's there with those wounds. Those wounds are still there. I know it's the same body because the wounds are still there. And it's those wounds that are enough and sufficient to make intercession for us. They're there as a witness of effectual atonement, the sacrifice for sins. That's all that is necessary. Jesus, crucified, buried, resurrected, ascended, finished the work that the Father gave him to do, and he just sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Our mediator, the man Christ Jesus. Notice in our text, this is stated on several different references in the Bible, he's gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God. The closest possible position to God the Father is where the man Christ Jesus is. Now, there's things to consider here. Man was made a little lower than the angel. Now that includes the man, Christ Jesus. In his humanity, he was made a little lower than the angels. You and I are made lower than the angels. But now there is a man in a closer proximity to the Father than Gabriel, than Michael the archangel. The man, Christ Jesus, is the closest to the Father. He possesses the highest possible position with God the Father. Notice in verse 22 again. He is on the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. His present rule, dominion over all things. Angels, authorities, powers being made subject unto him. Angels subject unto him. Not only angels, but authorities and these powers. Satan and all of his demons. Everyone that has opposition to God and everyone that agrees with God, Jesus Christ is ruling over all of them. All of the kings of this earth, all of the rulers of this earth are subject to the Lord Jesus Christ. They may not know it, but they are. They are. They are subject unto him. Every political leader in the world is subject unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is subject unto him. After his resurrection, he made that great statement, "All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth." All authority, all power. Look in Romans, if you would, and in chapter 8. In Romans and in chapter 8. Keeping in mind the wording of 1 Peter 3:22. In Romans 8 and in verse 38, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life," now notice this, "nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers." Those same things that are mentioned in our text. "I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. None of these shall prevail." Why? Why? Well, it's because of who's sitting on the right hand of God the Father. It's because that all power, all dominion, all principalities, everything is subject unto him. And these will not and they cannot prevail because of Jesus. We live in a world that's full of chaos. Everywhere you look, there's chaos. You cannot turn on your TV and watch any kind of news without seeing turmoil in the world. Nation rising against nation, and you see sinfulness everywhere, but keep in mind there's one who has dominion over it all. There's one who still is in charge. All powers and authorities are subject unto the one at God's right hand, and that is the man Christ Jesus. The saints of God are saved because of the man, Christ Jesus. The churches of the Lord Jesus Christ are safe because of the man, Christ Jesus. I'm not speaking about being physically safe, but spiritually. Spiritually. We're safe. We're safe. You know, I've never been concerned about the enemies of the Lord killing me because you can't kill me because I've already been crucified with Christ and I have eternal life. And that just does not bother me. It does not bother me. And I know that the one at the right hand of God is in control of all things. And so there are just some concerns that just do not bother me at all. I know who has the rule. You cannot kill the church unless you kill Jesus again, and you just can't get to him. He's at the right hand of God. He's at the right hand of God. And all those things are subject unto him. One of the great biblical truths is that he's alive and he lives forevermore. And he reigns as King of kings and Lord of lords. How that ought to give comfort to us in our day-to-day life. The one that we trust is at the right hand of God the Father. Lord willing, in future sermons, we're going to deal more with that. But it's just a wonderful truth to consider if you just do some little bit of meditating upon what the Scripture says. At the right hand of God. In the book of John, in chapter 12, in John in chapter 12, in verse 32, John 12, and in verse 32, Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Now, he was lifted up in the crucifixion. He was lifted up between heaven and earth. But also in the ascension, he was taken up. He was lifted up. Through his suffering and his death, we are drawn to Calvary. That's just where we're drawn first. We're drawn to that precious death and that precious blood. But through the ascension, we have an attraction to heaven. We're drawn to glory because Jesus Christ has been lifted up. Heaven has an attraction unto us, not because it has a street of gold, gates of pearl, but because Jesus is there. Just because Jesus is there. I'm not interested in going to heaven because my mother and my daddy is there. That's not my attraction to heaven. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. He gave a great promise.